At some point in your life, someone will ask you what to do, what you want to spend your life doing. You know, as a kid, somebody asked you at some point, what do you want to be when you grow up? Maybe more recently, somebody's asked you, if you could do anything, what would you do? So just think about that for just a moment. If you could do anything, what would you do? All of these types of questions are centered around this one idea, and it's the word we'll put on the screen. It's the word of purpose. Right? That's the whole idea behind these questions. What do you want to spend your life doing? So I want you to think about it for just a moment. Seriously, go ahead and go there. If you could do anything, okay, and you can't say quit my job, do nothing, all right? Because that sounds great for a little while, and then eventually you'd get bored. But what would you spend your life doing? You know, maybe it's exactly what you are currently doing. I don't know. If you're a young person, you're in college, you know, you're a high school student or something like that, you know, what is it that you really want to do? All of these questions that people ask us oftentimes center around the simply one idea of the word purpose. In 2002, there was a book written called The Purpose-Driven Life. Some of you may know about that book, and it sold over 34 million copies, still selling today, 70 different translations. It is literally one of the best-selling in history nonfiction books, okay? It was this amazing kind of thing that happened, and it just went viral, if you would, and so many people talked and read about this book because of the word purpose on it, really. It was all about purpose. And it simply indicates to me and it indicates to you that people around the world, okay, not just in our nation or not just in our state or something, it just around the world, people are trying to discover what their purpose is. It's been a question that has been raised for thousands of years. If you go to church at any length of time, some church will talk about purpose. The word purpose has just been spreading around forever. It's just one of those things that people try to discover in their life. What's the purpose of existence? Here's what purpose is defined as, not even just biblically, just what purpose is. Purpose is simply this, is knowing the reason for which something exists. So in other words, when it comes to you and to me, it answers the question, purpose, it answers the question, the reason why you were born. Why were you born? You know, the reason for that. The reason why you came into the world, the time you came into the world, where you came into the world, why? It answers the reason. So many people are intrigued by this idea of purpose. I believe there are two purposes that every human has, and here's the first one. The first one, actually, Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, but we'll put up on the screen for those of you who may not have your Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever it is you do, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Paul says, I don't care what you do with your life. It doesn't matter how much money you make, whether you work in an office, whether you have a good view, a no view. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Doesn't matter when you were born. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your skin color. He says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. The reason your life was created, Paul would say, is to bring glory to God. Now think about all the things you do. Think about all the things married couples do. Do it all for the glory of God. Some young people are looking at their parents going, what is he talking about? You explain it to them later. He says, whatever you do. Did he say whatever you do? Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Everyone is created to bring God glory. And everything every person does is to bring him glory. So therefore, everyone in all existence is called to do the same thing universally. We have the same purpose. Remember I said two purposes. Here's the first one. Universally, our purpose is simply this. Our purpose, if you would, universal purpose, is to bring glory to God. So we all share the same purpose is what I'm telling you. One of those purposes. There's two of them. So the first one is to bring God glory. A lot of times people get confused about what does it mean to bring God glory? How do I bring glory to God in all things? And we won't have time to get into the the discussion fully of what it means to bring God glory, but let me help make sense of it for just a moment if I can. God doesn't exist for us. We exist for God. You have to understand that. I need to say that again. God doesn't exist for us. We exist for God. So God made all he created for his glory. When his creation does what it was created to do, it brings him glory. You have to understand that. God created everything for his glory. So when everything that he created does what it was designed to do, it reveals who he is, therefore revealing his glory. God's ultimate purpose was to bring glory to himself. And I know some of you think, well, that sounds selfish, but it isn't. You have to think about it. There's a very important thing fundamentally that we have to understand. There's a difference between the uncreated God and that which he created. God is not a people group. We're wired differently. Newsflash to some of you really awesome people out there. You are not God, and you never will be. We're different. We're wired differently, God and humanity. Humanity, if you think about glory, wasn't designed actually to handle glory well. People don't handle glory well. Give somebody just enough money, just enough fame, and eventually you'll find yourself being different than you once were. You ever met someone who didn't have a lot of maybe recognition or glory, if you would, or prestige or status, that kind of a thing? And the moment they got the status, they got the promotion, they got the money, all of that, all of a sudden they changed. We say to them, what happened to you? You're different now. You know, look at Hollywood. I'm not saying everyone as a blanket statement, but a lot of times you'll see people who have hundreds of millions of dollars. I read an article the other day about a guy who $230 million made in his life. Most of us think, oh man, if only. Man, I would, and we do this all the time, man, I would take care of my mama, and I would, you know, feed the hungry. No one would go without, you know. Just wait till you got $230 million, and I give away half of it, you know. All my friends would be taken care of. But come on. You know, you get this money. This guy had $230 million, and today he's bankrupt. And, of course, you and I go, how did that happen? I'll tell you, he wasn't designed to handle glory well. We don't handle glory well. A lot of times people who get glory end up in rehab, committing suicide, you know, going through terrible divorces or marriages. Think about it. I mean, we're not designed to handle glory well. Bringing glory to God does not mean that we're adding to his glory. That isn't what it means. He already has all the glory he needs. It actually means we reveal the glory of God through our lives. We're here to reveal his glory through our lives, through our praise, through our adoration. Giving glory to God does not subtract joy, by the way, from your life. When you give glory to God, it actually brings joy to your life. That's why you were created, to bring God glory. So when you let God sit on the throne, it actually protects you of glory. It actually protects you of your own self-destructive behavior. You have to find this. When we live to bring God glory, it actually protects us from self-destruction. Look at Psalm 19. It says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I want you to catch this. So whenever the sun or whatever the stars or whenever all of that is up in the universe and the skies, we look up, those things are shouting glory to God. They're declaring his glory, the work of his hands. They bring glory to God by simply doing what they were created to do. Here's my point. I want you to catch this. We are vehicles that simply reveal and reflect the glory of God. That's why we're created for his glory. And there's a second type of purpose. So universally, I want you to see this, that there's a shared purpose. When we're talking about purpose, there's one is to bring glory to God. Doesn't matter what you do, bring glory to God. But there's a second type of purpose, and it's a specific purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, very famous verse, says this. Says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Very specific. I've got a plan for you. Notice four times it says you. I've got a plan for you. God has a specific plan for each individual in existence. Even those who resist him. You might say, "I want nothing to do with God." God still has a plan for you. Look what it says in Exodus 9:16. Moses went to Pharaoh, who was in charge of Egypt, who wanted nothing to do with God. And here's what God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh. "I have raised you up for this very purpose." Now watch this. Pharaoh was putting the Jewish nation, if you would, or the Israelites, in slavery. So he is literally working against God's direct people. And God said, "I have allowed this to happen for my very purpose." So he will use people who don't even want anything to do with him for a greater purpose. So even if you're against God, God is still using you to work out his purpose in someone else's life. I don't know if you're applauding because you're one of those people, and now you're like, "Well, hey, I'm sure. Think about this. It's kind of profound when you think about it. He says that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. And guess what's happening still to this very day? People are proclaiming who God is in the earth, and they're talking and they're preaching still about what Pharaoh did and what happened to Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and how if you don't listen to God, God will show you his power. Still happening. God uses all people, even those who are against him, for his purpose. Everyone, I just want you to know, has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life, whether you embrace him or resist him. He still has a purpose for your life. That's true. I've titled the message, "All That Was Introduction." No more same old, same old. No more same old, same old. Tell your neighbor, "No more same old, same old." Same old. Oftentimes purpose can be confusing or it can be like frustrating. Anyone frustrated at all? Let me just see your hands. If you're just frustrated about your purpose, "I've been trying to figure this thing out for too many years. I'm so glad I showed up today because today I'm going to find my purpose." You know? Sometimes young people, any young people in the house, you're just tired of people asking you what you want to do. Just raise your hand and say, "I'm tired of it. I don't know. I'm going to wear a shirt that says, I still don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Stop asking me what I want to do." Some of you are going to go to Thanksgiving. You're 40 and your parents are going to ask you, "What do you want to do?" "I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out, Mom. I don't know, Dad. I'm working on it." You know? People all the time trying to find purpose. It can be confusing. It's a frustrating subject. So many people want to move forward in their purpose, but they don't know how. Just don't know how. I cannot tell you your purpose today. Specifically, remember, universally it's the same. Bring God glory. I know that. Whatever your specific purpose might be. But I do know whatever your specific purpose is, it is going to bring God glory because ultimately it's what we're all called to do. That's why we're here. So I want to help you discover how to find purpose. So take notes. That's why we put that connection card in the back that says notes and a pen. All right there for you. And if you want to use technology and use your phone, by all means. But you're going to need to take some notes today. I'm going to go through these fairly fast. Here are several signs you may not be living your purpose. We're going to read all four at one time. Ready? Several signs you may not be living your purpose out. Lack of joy and fulfillment. You feel stuck with no certain direction. You work so you don't have to work. And you spend your time wishing you were someone else. If you fall into one of those four categories, you are probably not living out your specific purpose. What do you think about it? Joy and fulfillment. How was your day at work? You ever ask somebody, "How was your day at work?" And the people who are not living out their purpose answer it like this. You ready? Same old, same old. How's your day? Just another day. Come on, finish the statement. Another day, another. See, look at you. You're so good at it because you do it all the time. Another day, another dollar. Barely. Same old, same old. You know, how was your week? Same old, same old. Got out of the same old bed. Drank the same old coffee. Next to the same old wife. Joking. Just getting your attention. Same old, same old. Just another day. People not living their purpose oftentimes feel stuck because of the lifestyle they're used to. I want you to hear that. Some of you have created such a lifestyle that you have that you're so used to it, the way you live, that you feel stuck there. But you're the one that created that lifestyle, and then you complain about why you're not living out the purpose for your life. It's because you create a lifestyle that you have, and you just feel stuck. I can't get out of it. We have so much bills. We have so much stuff. I'm stuck in this. I have to keep this job. I have to hold to this job. So therefore, we're stuck here. It's a lifestyle that was created. So you feel stuck. Hit a certain stage in life. You feel it's too late to do anything about it. Another reason why people oftentimes may not be living their purpose, or you may not feel that way. You're working a job just so that one day you can stop working. Come on, everybody. Is that not what most people do? They work a job just so one day they can stop. So what are you doing for a living? Just trying to save till I have to stop working. I mean, how awesome is that? I'm going to work my whole life so that I get to not work for 10 years and then die. Is that not what most people do? Think about it. I'm just working, saving, so eventually I don't have to do this anymore and do what I hate. Then I can finally do what I want to do. You'll be 70, you know, and then maybe you get to play golf for 10 years, and then that's it, you know, or whatever. But you know, barely play golf probably because it hurts a little more. I'm 40 and I'm hurting everywhere. I can't imagine what life is going to be like at 70. So true. One idea may not be living your purpose is you spend your time wishing you were someone else. Not happy with who you are. And one of the reasons you may not be happy with who you are or where you are more specifically is because you haven't discovered what it was you were created to specifically be and do for God and bring him glory. If you fall into one of these categories, you may just have the disease, like I've said, called the same old, same old. Same old routine, same old life, same old day, same old week. My hope today is that if you feel like you live here, you can relate to the same old, or you don't want the same old life, you're a young person, then my hope is today that somehow you can make a decision to say no more to the same old, and begin to live out your purpose for God. So how do we discover purpose? Good news is the Creator has written down for those he created how to do this. Because the Creator wants the creation to know what they were created for, so he wrote it down for you and me. Aren't we thankful for our Creator? He knew we would need an instruction book, so he wrote one. By the way, something that's like, I never knew that was an instruction manual. This is God's letter to me. The Creator wrote to his creation so I would know how to discover purpose. That's why I tell you, read your Bible. Right? It's good news. I want to give you four ways to find purpose. We can find our purposes in God. First way comes from Genesis chapter 1. It says, then God said, let the waters swarm the fish and the other life. Let the waters swarm with the fish and the other's life. Let them swim around. I'm going to create water and put some fish in it. This is the fifth day of creation. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created every sea creature and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water. You know what birds do? Fly. Most of them. Do you know what fish do? Swim. You know? It says, I've created you to do something. And I've given you something to do. And every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. So on the fifth day, God created the fish to swim and the birds to fly. You get the point. And all through the days of creation, you can read that what God did, what God created. The sun, the moon, the stars. humans, everything. So if you ask a fish, why are you here? Guess what? The fish won't know. You can't ask a fish, why are you here? Them to just tell you. Do you know who the one that can tell you why the fish was created? The Creator. Only the Creator can actually tell the creation what it was designed to do. The creation can't figure that out for themselves. The created thing can never tell you its purpose until the Creator has revealed its purpose. If you ask the bench that you are sitting on, what is your purpose? The bench won't tell you. But the purpose who made the seat can tell you. This is created for this. The Creator, this is so important, the created thing can never tell you its purpose until the Creator reveals its purpose. One of the reasons you may not be living out your purpose is because you are still the one trying to figure it out. Trying to find your purpose, taking every assessment test, every strength finder you can find to try to find your purpose, and you forgot to look at the most important one. This is what will reveal your purpose every day of the week, because it's your Creator's manual to you. This is how you find your purpose, specifically, and of course, universally speaking. You can't discover, write this down if you're taking notes, you can't discover the reason you were created without asking your Creator. You will never discover the reason you were created, young people, listen to me, until you ask your Creator. Creator, God, what am I designed to do? Why did you bring me here? What do you want to do in my life? You don't even have to ask your mom or your dad. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to go to anybody and ask them, what do you think I should do? You just go to the one who made you. The one who made you knows everything about you. He already knows your Enneagram. Some of you like what that is. It's a really cool little test to take. It's a lot of fun. It's a little trendy thing happening. Enneagram. You heard of that? You know, God knows your number. Some of you had to read a whole book to figure it out. God's like, I already told you. You know, if you just asked me, I would have told you. God told me, I read Matthew 6 and I started weeping. Matthew 6 says, don't worry. A 6, by the way, in an Enneagram is a worrier. Oh, so that's why you always tell me not to worry. Yeah, because I made you, and part of you is you're a worrier. So you can't discover the reason you were created without asking your Creator. If you're going to find your purpose, number one, write this down. Go to God in prayer and His Word. I'm going to keep moving here for time. If you're going to find your purpose, number two, I'm going to give you the next one. Identify your gifts given to you by God. I didn't say strengths. I said your gifts. I did not say strengths. I want you to hear this. I said your gifts. Identify your gifts. Says this, goes on to say, Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 1, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I'm going to keep reading all the way through this. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, but I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Verse 9. The Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and the kingdom to uproot, tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and plant. I have put my words in your mouth. Here's the point God was telling him. I have called you to do something. Here's what I've called you to do. I've called you to speak. Of course, says, well, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Watch this. I didn't say strength. I said you have to find your gift, not your strength. Notice he didn't have a strength of speaking. It was actually a weakness of his. I'm too young. I'm inexperienced. I can't do that. God says, I know, I can. This is a gift I'm giving you because it's going to be my words talking through you to the nations. And you're to build them, to plant them, to grow them, to overthrow them. It's me talking through you. It's a gift I've given you. It's not finding your strengths, it's finding your gift. doesn't mean that strengths don't help us figure things out. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you've got to focus on the gift that God has given you. It was God who put his words in his mouth. It was a gift. Jeremiah could not do it himself. When he talked, no one listened. Can I get an amen on that? You ever talked? Parents? No one listens. But when it's God speaking, everyone listens. Scripture says that Jesus spoke with authority and people were moved by it. People have been preaching for years. Jesus showed up and they says, now that guy's got authority. Do you know why he had so much authority? Because he was saying exactly what his Father was wanting him to say. Now, it's a little unfair because he's Jesus, I think, but, you know, he's speaking by God's authority. It wasn't the human side. It was God speaking through him in that moment. Let me illustrate to you this way. If you showed up to hear Ricky talk to you about his wisdom, you are wasting your time. I'm telling you. So many of you are so much brighter than me, smarter than me, better looking than me. I mean, you've got it figured out. Okay? I'm telling you. Do not show up to Brave Church hoping to hear another wisdom from Ricky. I hope you're not surprised by this. And don't for all you encouragers out there, don't, oh, you, but you're great. This is, I don't need encouragement. I'm trying to tell you. The reason why I tell you that is I hope you don't show up on any Sunday hoping to hear me. If you came to hear me, you're not going to get much out of it. I am just like Jeremiah. I have a gift, though. God has gifted me. The other day, my daughter and me were driving, and my daughter said, I don't know if I believe in God. Now, when your daughter says that to a preacher, everything stops. It's like, well, let's have a conversation. But we're driving to school, driving her off. So, yeah, my daughter, too, you know, she questions. If she's like, well, if God's like you, Dad, then I don't know if I'm. But no, she said, I'm joking. But she said, I don't know if I believe in God. So I turned around her, again, I gave her this really great illustration. I'm forgetting in the moment what it was, but that doesn't matter. And I give this illustration about, well, you know, do you know God, Dad loves you? Yeah, I know Dad loves me or something like that. Well, how do you know that? Because I know he takes care of me, provides me, and all this kind of stuff. That was the illustration. And it just came to me in the moment. I said, well, here's what I know, you know, but if God's like that, I said, so how do you know? And I proved this point. I said, well, then, you know, how do I know that God loves me? I said, well, he takes care of me, provides me, he helped me. You know, and so to help their bring to light. Now, here's what I did in the moment. This is all I'm trying to tell you. I'm driving. All of a sudden, I go, man, that was good. I was literally just, it came to me in the moment. Now, I'm telling you. She said to me, I don't know. I know I'm rushing that story. I don't believe in God. I don't know if I believe in God, Dad. I don't know. And I said, well, why do you doubt him? Well, I don't know if he's real. Okay. Do you think he loves you? I don't know. And I said, well, I love you. Yeah, I know you love me. You know that I love you? Yeah, I know you. How do you know I love you? Well, you provide for me. You take care of me. You tell me you love me. Okay, all the time. I said, well, God does the same thing. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, so can you know that someone loves you even if you have questions? Yeah, but you know by faith. You just know. And I said, that's so good. And then as I'm driving, I say that to the line. I said, man, that was really good. You know, the second line, I literally said this to myself. You should say it to yourself sometimes. It feels so good. I went, I'm so gifted. Now, here's what I was saying. I'm telling you, for 27 years of my life, I would have never had that analogy. In fact, for 27 years of my life, I would have turned to my daughter and said, yeah, me too sometimes. I got nothing. But in the moment, God gives me certain little illustrations. And as I'm preaching, as I'm talking, as I'm writing sermons, God reveals to me certain things there's no way I could do. So many of you come up to me afterwards and go, how did you know? Did you read my journal? Did you see my post? Tears are flooding. That's exactly what I needed to hear. I'm so glad I came today. Do you think I'm that smart? No. All different ages, all different, you know, places in life. Oh, my gosh, we talked about purpose last night. Some of you talked about purpose last night. Or you've been thinking about purpose. Raise your hand if you're in the room. You've been thinking about purpose. You've been feeling about purpose. Raise your hand if you would. Look at all the hands. I knew. I've been following your tweets. I've been, you know. It's God wanting to say something to you. What I'm trying to tell you is don't find your strength. Find your gift. See, God had gifted Jeremiah. Find your gift. What has God gifted you in? Number three, okay, discover what breaks God's heart that also breaks yours. Okay? Oh, by the way, if you want to know, how do I know my gift? Some of you may be asking, well, how do I know my gift? Ask someone who's willing to be honest with you. Okay? Ask an ex-girlfriend, what's my gift? You'll get an honest answer. Well, I know what it's not, you know. Ask someone who's willing to be honest with you. Okay? Discover what breaks God's heart that also breaks yours. This is one of my favorites. This comes from Nehemiah, one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. Nehemiah is called to build a wall. Here's what it says. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. It broke Nehemiah's heart to see that God's people were in trouble. God's people were in trouble. That's all you need to know about this. Okay, you can go back and read the story for yourself in Nehemiah if you want to. God's people are in trouble. They're in distress. They're in captivity stuff and opposition, and they don't know who they are, and it breaks Nehemiah's heart. So Nehemiah said, I've got to go build this wall. I've got to help these people. And he did it. And the reason he did it was ultimately so God could get the glory. One, so he could get the glory. If your purpose is not tied to God getting glory, it's not your purpose. Remember, because universally, it's always about the greater purpose. It broke Nehemiah's heart. That's what I want you to get. Hold up. What breaks your heart that also breaks? Does it break God's heart to see his people in opposition or in distress or discouragement? Yeah, because those are his children. And it also broke Nehemiah's heart. When you see people in poverty, let's first answer the first question. Does that break God's heart? Yes. Absolutely. Does it break God's heart that a child will die today of starvation because no one will give him food? Yes. And for some of you, that breaks your heart too. For some of you callous people, it doesn't move you at all. I'm just joking. Joking. But some of you, it's like, ooh, that one really gets to me. And it gets you so kind of riled up inside. Even when I just said that, you're going to go donate food today. Because it just really gets at you. For some of you, you're like, not moved by it. Feel bad for the kid, but just go on to something else because that doesn't wreck me. For some of you, it's bad business. People who cheat people. Do you think it hurts God's heart when businesses cheat people? How about greedy companies? Yeah, greedy companies. Do you think that bothers God's heart? Just people looking for more to gain for themselves? And some of you own businesses or companies. And God's looking to you to run a company or business that isn't so greedy, but is giving back to its community and its people. Yeah. About bad leadership that mistreats or abuses its employees and staff. Think about it. What breaks your heart that also breaks the heart of God? Oftentimes, that's where you'll find your purpose and where you share that in common with one another. Look at Luke 19. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, going to the cross. He says, he saw the city ahead of him and he wept over it, even if only had only known on this day that this would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. Jesus is simply saying, when I was going into go to the cross and I read this particular, you know, and I saw this and I saw what's happening, what's wrecked me the most is this fact that people don't know the peace that I've brought. So I want you to hear this. It wrecked the heart of Jesus that also wrecked his father's heart, which was ultimately to bring peace through salvation to humanity. It's a shared heart. He fulfilled his purpose, though. He went to the cross so that he could be resurrected eventually, so that you and I would know the peace that he offers through salvation. What breaks your heart that also breaks the heart of God? And the fourth and final reason is this. I would do it even if I wasn't paid for it. Now, let me just ask you right now. Would you currently work the job you're working if you didn't get paid for it? It's a possibility then, something you might need to think about, are you actually operating in your divine purpose? Because I can tell you, people who are operating in their divine purpose would do it even if they weren't paid for it. Think about how many people aren't living out their purpose. And they're dying miserable. Our engine, our whole purpose, and we have been wired this way, and it's not our fault, nor your fault. Don't get mad. We've been wired to think this way. Go to school, go to college, get a job, retire. As if the purpose of life is retirement. That is not the purpose of life. Retirement doesn't bring glory to God. The purpose of life is not to retire. The purpose of life is to bring glory to God and to do exactly what you were designed to do on this earth. Look at Paul's statement. We'll wrap it up with this. Acts 20:24. I consider my life worth nothing to me unless I use it and aim to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task is telling the good news. I considered my life worth nothing unless I used my life to tell people about Christ. This is Paul's purpose. Now, for specifically, Paul says, my specific calling is to testify and tell the good news to people. And I've got to spend my life doing this. This is what my life is about, and I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I have to give up, because this is my purpose that God has called me to do. I want you to know today, no one has your purpose but you. It is unique to you, just like your fingerprints are unique to you. The world, listen to this, does not need another one of them. One is enough. Stop trying to be somebody else and be the you God created you to be. That's what it was for Paul. He said, I don't care what you do. It's what I'm doing. And the other thing else is more important. It needs you. Listen to me. The world, God needs you to live out your purpose. The reason for which you exist. And God wants you to live out that purpose. Nothing could stop Paul from living out his purpose. Didn't matter if he was paid for it or not. He was a tent maker. I don't care if I get paid for this. I'm going to tell you right now. If all of a sudden, you know, the salary that I do have went away, I'm showing up on Sunday. Now, I don't try to, you know, well, let's test you on that, you know. What I'm saying to you is that I get so moved when I preach and I see people going, that spoke to my heart. It don't matter what I'm going through physically in my body. I'll do it every single day of my life for the rest of my life because I'm operating in my gift, what God has called me to do. Even if I don't get paid for it, I'll do it. People ask me to preach at their churches or help them out. Absolutely. I don't ask for a paycheck. Well, first, I got to know how much money I'm making. No. I love the opportunity. That's why I preach over the time all the time. I'm like, oh, geez, I got to get better in this time thing. But I'm operating in that gift, and it's passion in me. Does that make sense? Imagine what life would be like living out your purpose for which you were created. I want you to imagine what your life would be like if you lived out your purpose for which you were created. Acts 13:36. This is one of the most profound verses. I heard it this week, and I kind of heard another guy talk about it, and I read it myself, and I thought, man, I have never seen that. And I've read Acts a lot, and I've just never read this verse like this. I want you to think about what your life would be like. Look at David. Ready, King David? Look at this. Now, when David had served God's purpose, in his own generation, David was born in a specific generation, a specific time, a specific family. God had a plan for his life. And when he had served God's purpose, David brought glory to God. But David also had a specific purpose. To kill Goliath. To become king. And eventually through his line, come the Savior of humanity, Jesus Christ. He had a specific purpose. David did. And when David had served God's purpose in his own time, he fell asleep. He died. That's what that means. He didn't take a nap. He died. He died when he had served God's purpose. And then he was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. I want you to imagine living out your purpose in such a way that that happens to you. That when it comes to the time of your death on earth, someone says this about you: served God's purpose for their life. I will promise you something. If you serve God's purpose for your life, this time right here, this falling asleep, will happen right on time. Right on perfect time. Because you've served God's purpose. Powerful verse. David fulfilled the purposes before he died. Imagine dying and having fulfilled the purposes of God in your life. I bet on this. If you literally lived out your life the way that God has designed you and created you and wants you to fulfill the purpose, you won't say, same old, same old. You cannot live in the midst of God's purpose for your life, operating in the gift that he's given you, and turn to your spouse one day and say, oh, same old, same old. No, because it's a new thing every single day when you operate in the giftings of God, because God is working something new in you through to advance his kingdom. His kingdom is always wanting to advance. It's a new thing. So if you've been stuck in the same old, I want you to reconsider the purpose that you're living out. And maybe your purpose has been just to keep this house. My purpose is retire. I want you to reevaluate your purpose. Don't get stuck. That's the biggest trick the enemy wants to play on you. The goal of your life is to retire. No, it is not. Your goal is not to work so you don't have to work one day. Your goal is to bring glory to God through a specific purpose that he has for you. And he wants you. And he needs you. Because there will never be another you. There will never be another you. God wants you to take life seriously and live it out for him. And ultimately, he wants you to have joy. And that's what will lead to your fulfillment. Here's what I want you to do with the message today. If you want to know your purpose, four things. Go to God in prayer and his word. Identify your gifts given to you by God. Discover what breaks God's heart and also breaks yours. Ask yourself, would I do this even if I wasn't paid for it? If you need help with that, we're here to help as a church in any way we can. Write on your connection card. We have Brave Track. We have Starting Point. These are two different things that are to help you find your purpose. Join a community group. Ask somebody to help you out. Seriously, once you live out your purpose, go to God. Spend time this week in his word. Commit now to get to know him. Get to know God. Read your word. God, show me my purpose. Help me to live it out. We're here for you. When Jesus went to the cross and he died for the sins of the world, he did it so that you would know the love and the grace of God. His purpose was to bring his Father glory by doing what he was created to do, to die on a cross, be resurrected from the dead for the salvation of our souls. Jesus Christ lived out his purpose, and he died right on time, having fulfilled the purposes of God in his life. Jesus, we come to you. We thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, to discover our purpose. And I pray right now over every man and woman in this room who's wanting to live out their purpose, but they don't know what it is. God, that they would that you would reveal it to them through your word, through prayer. God's telling some of you, go to your word, go to prayer this week. He wants to reveal his purpose to you. You've been searching for it, but it's got to take time with him. Ask your creator. You cannot find out what you're created to do unless you ask your creator first. Some of you, it's like, I got to go discover my gifts. Ask somebody that you trust that will be honest with you. What are you gifted in by God? Not what are your strengths, what are your gifts by God? God, reveal them to reveal their gifts. Maybe it's about discovering what breaks God's heart. You know what breaks yours, but you don't know if it breaks God's heart. Go look in your word. Find out if it breaks God's heart. God, does this break your heart too? Because it's breaking mine. Then help me how to solve it. Show me how to solve it. Show me what I can do. Ask yourself, would I do this even if I wasn't paid for it? If you do these things, it'll help you get closer and closer to the specific purpose that God has for your life. Jesus, I pray for those in the room that you'd help us live out our purposes so we would bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.